Baruch Hashem Adonai Shalom Chavarim Ve'mishpacha, which means in English, blessed be the name of the Lord, peace to our friends and family, especially to Matt and Chrissy, new listeners out there. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour right here on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible, your pen, and paper, get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning God's Word, especially on the study of end times or the end of days, where the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 3, promises a special blessing to us when we do. Amen? Let's start out with prayer. Let's ask our Heavenly Father in heaven. Father, we just come to you in the name of your Son, our Messiah, Yeshua. I pray that from the treasures of your glory, that you will empower us with inner strength by your Spirit, so that the Messiah may live in our hearts through our trusting. Also, I pray that we will be rooted and founded in love, so that we, with all God's people, will be given strength to grasp the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of Messiah's love. Yes, to know it, even though it is beyond all knowing, so that we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, also remember those who requested prayer through the mail this week. And in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this opportunity to again speak to everyone over the air. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you this fine day.
Shalom Shabbat.
Just want to let people know we will be opening the lines later in this hour for your questions on the topic of eschatology, which is just a fancy word for the study of the end of days, because I believe we're in those days. So we need to be asking questions. You know, I was talking to someone about, I was wondering why we didn't get more questions, you know, and she says, well, basically, we're not even sure what questions to ask. That's how much they have never been taught in the last 10 years.
Yes. That I hope that means they're not even thinking about it, but I know it's on everybody's. We're going to change that. Now, remember, listeners, if you missed any previous shows and you want to get back to them, it's easy. Just go on the www, you know, the internet, and go to shofarministries.net, and all our previous shows are listed with the titles, thanks to Lou Buckles.
Yes, and maybe you should spell shofar.
Shofar is spelled S-H-O-F. A-R.
That's S-H-O-F as in Frank,
mm-hmm.
A-R, Ministries.
Ministries.
.net or .com. You know, they both work.
Yes.
Okay.
And great thing, Lou has worked really hard to get this so easy,
yes,
easy to do. We thank him for that. And
a good friend.
And now here we are, another Saturday, another Shabbat. What are we going to discuss this week?
Okay, well, believe it or not, this is our ninth show already. Seems like we just started. But I want to, once again, encourage our listeners to get involved with the study of prophecy. And as you already said, and we said it last week, and I want to say it again, Revelation 1:3, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, which is a prophetic book about the return of Jesus and what's going to happen in the wrath of God. And he says, there is a special blessing on anyone who reads and understands it. And that just means studies it.
Yes.
And that the testimony of Jesus, over in Revelation 19:10, as he's closing out the book, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is prophecy.
That's right. And prophecy is Jesus.
That's right.
How did the original apostles and disciples know about his coming in the first place?
By prophecy.
By prophecy.
They were
studying the prophets, and that's what we do here.
That's right, we do.
Yes.
But you know what? The enemy tells people that, oh, it's not important. It's too confusing. You know, there's too many opinions. Blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you, who is making it confusing? There might be a lot of different opinions, but there's only one right one.
That's right.
So who makes it confusing?
I believe the enemy, Satan.
You got the right answer there,
yes.
John. Yes, it definitely is the enemy. And that's his goal, actually.
Right.
He wants to confuse people when it comes to the study of prophecy because he doesn't want Christians to know what's going to happen.
That's right.
or that there's going to be a rapture of the believers just prior to the wrath of God. And we started talking about that last week. We're going to continue talking about that this week also. But first, there's an important but quick news item that is prophecy. Okay,
and prophecy, of course, being fulfilled right this very day.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And I didn't realize, I had heard it was going to happen, but I didn't realize that it's already started. There is a replica of the next temple currently being erected next to the Temple Mount.
Today.
Not on the Temple Mount yet. Yes, right now. They've already started it. It's part of a $20 million museum project. Now, the museum's curator said that this will be also an audiovisual experience. And in fact, you'll be able to smell certain smells according to, you know, what they smelled, the incense and that in those days, when you just even enter the temple.
And this is all a full-size replica.
I believe that's what I was. That's what I read.
That's true. I believe full-size replica of the temple.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that being a museum and not the real temple?
I know. I'm thinking they want to get it going, and then possibly when the timing is right, just be able to move it.
Move it up to the Temple Mount.
Oh yeah.
Yep, on top.
Why not? I mean, we are certainly able to do that in this day and age.
Well, they could do it in, you know, they did it in Solomon's
and
day.
And they did it in Solomon's, yes, didn't they?
Yeah, the temples, the stones were cut and finished, and the lumber cut and finished off the site,
mm-hmm.
far away from the Temple Mount. And it was brought to the Temple Mount and there assembled.
Right.
So they were doing the modular construction and moving that kind of stuff
yeah.
way back then
so
in Solomon's
time. So that makes total
time.
Sense because history repeats itself.
Absolutely.
So it's being erected near there and can be moved quickly at the proper time. Oh, I'm excited. Did you see just the hair stand up on my arm just then?
There's not many hairs, but I think I might have seen one.
This is prophecy. And I'm so excited because, well, Daniel talks about this temple coming. Matthew talked about it.
Yes.
Thessalonians, Revelation. It's all there. There will be a temple. Amazing.
Very interesting. We're right there at the door.
I think so.
Yes.
Gets me excited.
Amen.
Okay, last week we discussed who the elect was. Do you remember that in Matthew 24:31? I think that was an email.
Yes.
And who? And we explained
who the elect
were.
Oh, that was a good discussion there. Yes.
And the answer was the tribulation saints that get saved after we're gone. Okay, and we gave some really good scriptures last time too. And the main thing that I want people to remember from last week's show is that the bride has to be removed before judgment can begin.
Mm-hmm.
And we cited some of those examples, but again, I want to just reiterate that the main reason is so that this iniquity, the iniquity, be full. Okay?
Yes.
That's why Lot and his family had to leave Sodom and Gomorrah before judgment could begin. They actually, the angel said, we can't do anything until you're out of here. Why? Because Sodom's iniquity had to be full. That's amazing, you know. In Genesis 15:16, God tells Abraham that eventually the Amorites would be destroyed, but not until their iniquity was full.
Now, does that mean the same thing as that their iniquity is complete? There's a completeness to
they're
their
all sinning.
Yes, because you see that I see that term again. I always wondered what it meant. How can iniquity be full? Does
right.
that mean complete?
Complete.
It's run its course.
Everywhere, yes.
Yes.
Genesis 15:16, and people want to look that up, they should. But even with Noah and his family, now I know that they were protected, but they were protected in the ark before the floods could ever, ever begin, before the rain, the first little drop, would not begin. Why? Because it was a judgment
mm-hmm.
on their sin. And when you read about Noah, you'll see that him and his family were the only ones that were untainted, the only ones. So he protects them in an ark,
mm-hmm.
and then the iniquity was full on the rest of the earth, and then judgment came. So that appears to be a requirement of the Lord.
You said history repeats itself.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So we have to leave for iniquity to be full, and at the moment the righteous are taken out, there will only be unrighteous left for a short time.
For so, how long?
We don't know.
Don't know.
It could be a couple hours. I don't know, but I know it won't take long before the enemy, who now will have his spiritual darkness complete, for him to get extra power. And that's where he will receive more power. Because the restraining, which is us, is here hindering him from getting all the power.
We are the elect in this generation.
In this generation.
In this generation. We've learned that from last week's show, that there were many in every generation.
Or in this period of time.
This age. Every age has had its elect. We are the elect. Once we leave, there's going to be this short period of time, like you said, where there will be
complete darkness.
It'll be scary. But you know, the first people to repent will begin the elect of the tribulation. That very first person, if you're someone that's resisted the gospel, if you know someone that's resisted the gospel all their lives, even though they've been witnessed to, they've been told this is coming, they may be the very first person that repents when they realize, my crazy friend that told me about this rapture was right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may be the first one.
I already know a lot of people that will be tribulation saints.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I do want us to be that generation that sees his return, because I have a lot of people that I care about that I know I want to see in the kingdom.
Yes.
And if it happens now, I know there'll be tribulation saints.
Yes.
You know, if it doesn't happen for 50 years and they die, then that's not going to be good.
No.
So I'm anxiously awaiting his return.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we're getting very, very close, because all the signs are here. I mean, they're actually getting this temple ready.
Yes.
Building it now very easily can be moved at the proper time.
Unlike the flood, I believe the tribulation, even though it will be hard to survive physically during the worst part of those 7 years.
Oh, yes.
But the intent, there will be a chance to repent during that.
The main
thing
is to repent. It doesn't matter if you die after that.
That's right.
Because at least you'll be part of the kingdom.
Yes.
Okay.
So God in his judgment is also merciful.
Oh, yes. He's so merciful.
Yes.
Okay, so today we will continue with the same kind of thing. And again, I remind you that if you have a question about what we've been talking about, feel free to call us. We'll give you those phone numbers in a minute. It'll be actually open the second half. So it's about another 15 minutes. So. But I also had another email this week. I think people would rather email me questions. I think they feel like they don't want to be on the air, and I understand that.
Well,
you know, that's okay. But we have one right now. So do you want to read that?
Yes, I'd love to read this question, and I'm glad people do ask us. Now, you're free to call. We'll give out those numbers later on. But this is a good question. It says, I know that the woman who rides the beast is a worldwide religion. But the question is, which religion is it?
I love that too, when I got it in, because it fits again with what we're talking about.
Yes.
It just shows you that the bride must leave in order for this woman who rides the beast. Her name is Mystery of Babylon. She's in Revelation 17. But in order for that to occur, we have to leave, because we would never join a one world religion that thinks all their religions are fine, just a different way to the same God. That's heresy. It is a lie from the devil, and I believe that this one world religion. But let's look at Revelation. Let's just have everybody turn to it.
Now that's in 17, where you have the woman riding the beast. This is a much discussed and
yes, it is
issue in prophecy.
In Revelation 17, it talks about this woman, and at the end of it, on the end of verse 1. He says, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot. So we know she will be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Who sits on many waters. Okay, now the one thing about Revelation is that when it tells you something, it'll usually define it.
Can I also to take a little just a second here for someone that's not familiar with this language? God's talking about spiritual harlotry here, or whoredom. And this is being unfaithful, untrue, by seeking another God other than the one, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who is above all and every God.
Mm-hmm.
And in God's eyes, when we go after another type of religion or another God with a small g, that to him is the equivalent of us cheating on him. Or,
absolutely.
You know,
we are the bride of Christ.
We're a bride.
And
that's figurative. We're brides. Even I'm a bride and I'm a guy, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's figurative. And when something takes us away, our love, our you know, that love in our heart for God, and we start turning to another god.
Or they are married to a false god.
Yes.
So that's why this woman is a harlot.
Yes.
Okay. Over in verse 15, it explains who these waters are that she sits on.
She's sitting on many waters, yes.
And it says, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, plural. I want to point that out. Multitudes, plural. Nations, plural. And tongues, plural. That covers just about everybody.
That's what I was going to say. That's just about everybody.
Yeah. So, see, here's what I here's how I'll try to put it all together here and help it make sense. Is that there's really only two religions in the world. And the first one is to the real God through Jesus Christ. And it's not really even a religion, it's a relationship, but we'll call it that for now.
Okay.
So there's two major religions, the right one and the wrong one. Now the wrong one is filled with many different facets of different religions. Buddhists, Hindus, Islam, some Protestantism are their main line, they're not really born again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics that aren't born again, they're Christians that say, you know, but they will say, and I've heard this, there are many ways to God.
Yes.
You know, I've heard that by some pretty important people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I won't mention names right now because I don't want to get into that. But So back to this woman again. She represents all false religions.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And for a while, and that's again why we have to leave. For a while, she will actually embrace the beast, and they will be together, which is why she's riding this beast. They will be together in coercion until he decides that he wants everyone to worship him directly. See, the woman is the indirect worship of anybody but Jesus God through Jesus.
Okay.
So for a while, he'll put up with that. Okay, because that's the way it's got to do. But then at the proper time, he will get rid of the woman, and he will make it mandatory that everybody worship him directly. So it's still controlled by Satan, but for a while he'll be in disguise as this woman, so to speak, until the proper time when he will get rid of the woman and demand total worship. That's when he sits in the temple, declares himself God, makes everyone take a mark, and that mark will mean you cannot buy or sell anything unless you have it. But along with that mark, you have to give oath to the beast and worship him.
And so the beast is actually, like a bull at a rodeo, has thrown the rider, the woman, off.
Yes, he definitely will, because then he wants direct worship.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, he'll put up with it because he's behind it all anyway.
Yes.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's his conniving way of getting people to think that they're worshiping God when, in fact, it's actually a small g. And it's him.
Well, don't you hear that a lot? I know I do. Because they worship another God doesn't mean they're not worshiping the same God you are. I mean, I hear that all the time.
Yes.
You know, why would you want to say that they're going the wrong way or are not going to go to heaven because they're praying to God, even though their God might have a different name. God is God.
They say it's all the same God, but it's not. It's not through Jesus. And he even says, and I think John 14, he says, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. There's nothing really hard to know there.
So how much of the world is moving towards the woman on the beast? How much is it resembling that? I think a lot. You told me 10 years ago when you visited, I believe it was the Temple Mount, that one of your guides was fielding some questions, and she was a young Israeli girl in the IDF.
Yeah, she was in the Army.
Army, and part of the answer to the question that was asked, she said, well, it really makes no difference if there's a temple in the Temple Mount and then there's the Dome of the Rock, because we all worship, didn't she say something?
Yeah,
we're all worshiping the same God anyway.
Jewish young lady
that
was in the Army, because the women have to serve also. And when I heard that, I was stunned because that was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that being Jewish, that you would give credence to something like that.
Yes.
And I was shocked.
But here it turns out she was just parroting an idea that's very prevalent over there and over here and everywhere.
Right.
Yes.
And that's why Islam's growing so much, because they want to, many people are telling them, oh, it's the same God, and they're listening and thinking, oh, yeah, it's the same God. And in fact, it's not. It is a God led by the enemy or Satan.
And this is what you're telling us is is the one world religion. And here we were going to put a name on it, but if it's any religion,
it doesn't matter.
That's saying you can get to God anyway, not through Jesus, and we know different.
Absolutely.
If you're a born again believer, you know different. If you're a student of the Bible, you know different.
Oh yeah, there's only one God, and there's only one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to get to the Father, which is in heaven. And that's it.
That's it.
There's no other way. And if there was another way, why in the world did he have to come down and die for us? If we could be a Buddhist and go to heaven, if we could be a Muslim and go to heaven, why would he give up what he had in heaven to come down and be a man to die for our sins? Because he had to be that sacrifice. He had to pay that debt that sin owes.
Yes.
You know, why would he do that?
Why would he do that? Why would he, yeah.
It would make
that sense. Makes perfect sense. As does all, when you really study the Bible, you will find it makes perfect sense.
I know.
but don't take people's words for it. You know, don't even take our word for it. Don't take Reverend Sheila's word for it.
No, and oh, thank you for mentioning that, because
yes,
that's really very important. I'm only stirring you up to do your own homework.
Yes.
Please, people, don't say Sheila says. Say, I said, because you've looked it up. Okay, that's important. I think we have time to just do another scripture.
Okay.
And then we'll continue on with those scriptures when we come back. But I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:9.
By the way, that was in, I was going to say Thessalonians was where our prayer was in the opening, but it was actually Ephesians.
Ephesians, yeah. We like to pray the word, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, if you're in your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Talking about the day of the Lord, of course, that's the context, which begins with the tribulation. And he says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that we're here is to find Christ, to get saved. And then you are not going to be part of the wrath of God, which is a judgment on iniquity.
Mm.
What is iniquity?
Iniquity is lawlessness.
Yes.
What's lawlessness? Bible-lessness.
Right.
Yes.
And because they don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's why the wrath of God is coming on the world.
Right.
Okay, so when Jesus came, he died for us. He took that curse to the cross. The curse of the wrath of God that would come for unpayment of their sins because they won't accept Christ's sacrifice.
Right.
Instead, they want to keep that sin, don't repent, and then therefore they will have to pay the price. They're going to have to pay the debt that they owe, and they will do that during the tribulation period.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense to everybody out there.
Well, yeah. That's a whole nother issue, like they say in that. But you know, you can have faith in God to the point where you trust him that he is the absolute judge, and he is the absolute fair judge, and he's the merciful judge who weighs people's hearts, who
absolutely
weighs people's deeds, who weighs everything, even the temperature it was the day the deed was committed. He weighs all that stuff. Now, I'm sure by now there's some of you have some questions, and I want to give you those phone lines, which we'll be opening up pretty soon. And make sure your question is on end time eschatology, end times. And the first phone number I will give you is the local phone number, which is 216-901-0933. That's 901-0933. Outside the area, you can call by just dialing 888-888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And I might add, too, that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, so all your gifts are tax-deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. Perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio, and you can reach Sheila for details by calling 440-834-9006. Now, our friend Mike has been able to make and donate some more crosses for your wall or your outdoor garden. And these crosses will go to anyone who helps keep this show on the air. And you just simply send your check to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or you may donate through the websites, and that is shofarministries.net. And you could use the PayPal right there on the website. And send us an email specifying your choice of cross, as well as any other questions you might have, to Sheila at shofarministries.net. And now I'd like to tell you about one of the sponsors to our show today. Excuse me. Mullet Masonry. Now, they're working with brick, block, stone to do the great work they do. It's earning them a great reputation. They service residential things like chimneys and restorations, get that chimney repaired before the wind starts blowing, as well as bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but they'll service any of the surrounding areas. That includes us right here in Cleveland. They're experienced. They do great work. They're affordable. They're nice folks as well. If you need an estimate, just call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. And give them a try the next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep this show on the air. So be sure you tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Now, the lines are open for your end time questions. And a reminder, the numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Now don't go too far. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a song from
Tammy Campbell.
Lisa and Andy Willoughby's three-step plan has allowed me to be home with my children. I see the three-step plan being able to provide enough income for so many families that they're going to be able to keep their home, keep their second car, just being able to provide shoes and whatever else their children need. We've been waiting for 10 years to put a deck on the back of our house, and we're going to be getting that deck now. Andy Willoughby's three-step plan can make a change in your life. You can actually look out your window and be able to dream again. Not only am I going to be home with my children, but our future sees my husband being home as a full-time dad, too.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
We know how much you enjoy the programs you listen to on WHKW, but did you know there's more to your favorite radio ministries than what you hear on the radio? Many of your favorite shows offer thank you gifts every month. These gifts are a valuable asset for your spiritual growth. You can receive these gifts by contacting your favorite ministries either by phone or through their websites. In appreciation for your gift to Insight for Living this month, hope for our troubled times. How do you impart to your children the courage they need to resist the cultural trends of the day? How do we help them survive and even thrive in a world that's agnostic toward Christian values? Filled with biblical insight and wisdom, Hope for Our Troubled Times is a new resource from Insight for Living, designed to guide you and your family through the troubling changes and disturbing realities that characterize our world today. Hope for Our Troubled Times is Insight for Living's thank you gift for the month. Go to their website, insight.org, for your gift.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by by those who don't know him, and we've been mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Beautiful song, wasn't that? That's I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel, and that was by Ohio's own sweetheart, Tammy Campbell. And it's a good question. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Tammy isn't, and neither are we here at Shofar Ministries Hour. If you would like Tammy to perform for your group, give us a call. We'll put you in touch with her.
And once again, if you would like your business mentioned as a sponsor of the show, call me at 440-834-9006. And I'd like to thank Nicole Marus, who is a sponsor of the show, a local representative of the all-natural Arbonne Health and Beauty Products, who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your skin and body type. Nicole can help you find the right products specially suited for your particular type of skin, including nutrition and weight control. This is not just face makeup. It's about having healthy, glowing skin. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. And you might want to ask her how to earn some free products or start your own at-home business. Nicole's number is 440-840-2176. And Arbonne has a men's line, too. And I know we all use something, even if it's just washing your hair. And remember, Arbonne is non-toxic, and that's very important in these infectious days. So give her a call, 440-840-2176. All right, and I think we have a caller.
Yes, somebody came in on that 888 line,
okay.
I believe.
Okay, it's April in Huntsburg. April, you're on the air. What is your question?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I hear
can.
You fine.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. I have a question. I was reading in Revelation 14, and in the first verse it says that there was one with him, 144,000 having his father's name written on their forehead. And then in verse 4, it goes on to say that these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And my question is, are these Jews? And if they are, why are they called the first fruits? I'm a little confused on that.
That's an excellent question. Very good question. Actually, that just falls right into line, too, with what I've been saying about why the bride is leaving. Once we leave, there will be 144,000 Jews, according to Revelation 7. If you read Revelation 7, you probably remember there was 12,000 from each tribe, and there was 12 tribes. That
right.
equals 144,000. And very shortly after we're out of here, God is going to put his name on 12,000 of each of the tribes who are Jewish, and for some miraculous way, he's going to present himself to them, and they will all get saved. And the moment that they do, they become the first fruits from that age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once we're gone, that new age begins, which is called In That Day. And In That Day will last 1,000 years. The first 7 will be called the tribulation period. And that's one reason why when we leave, that God is going to replace us with 144,000, double-spirited, by the way. Just think of 144,000 Pauls running around Jerusalem, preaching and teaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. And that's why we see in 14 that they were called the first fruits, because we're gone now, and they're the first fruits of that age
that
to be saved.
Now.
Does that help you, and does that answer your question?
It sure does. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thanks, April.
So let's expound on that a little bit, John, because it's amazing, because I've heard people say, well, you can't just, why do you think you're going to leave? Are you anti-Semitic and leaving the Jews here? You don't even care about them?
Well,
you're going to let them flounder on their own?
Right. Well, we are called, actually, as the Gentile church, I believe, is a big calling is to help the Jews.
And
now,
we have,
while
and
we're
we
here.
Are, and we do.
Yes, and we do. We have, and we do.
We do all those things. But when God says, okay, your time is up, I'm taking you home, because there's a wedding and a Shabuah of a honeymoon that has to be fulfilled according to Jewish customs. So therefore, I'm going to replace you with 144,000 new believers, which will happen to be Jewish, and he will do some kind of miraculous thing.
Right.
And I have an idea what that will be, and I might even talk about that at some point. But I think that immediately when they get saved, they will be called the first fruits, and they will be the ones that help the Jews then.
Yes.
Okay, and they're more apt to listen to them because they're going to be Jewish themselves.
Anyway, yes.
You know?
Makes perfect sense to me. And I'll tell you what, though. For all the millions of, I believe, born-again believers that will leave in the rapture, all the work that the church has done. Now, the church has done some
things. The true church?
The true church. Now, when I say church, I'm not talking about any denomination. Those those that believe in God and all the works that we have done in this last two millennia, you know, we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And now that mantle, like you say, will be passed.
Absolutely.
It's only going to take 144,000 Jews to do what it took the whole church to
right.
do 2,000 years. They'll be able to do it. That's how powerful the anointing.
Well, and they will be spirit-filled. Now, there's
yeah,
where the Holy Spirit comes back and indwells them.
Yes.
So they will be, and they will also be protected from any harm through the whole 7 years.
Yes.
For the whole, that's why we see
that's
them
what
again.
Makes them different from the other Jews in the land, is that these will be able to, they will survive the whole period.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so I
phone number again is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677 Word.
Okay, let's do a little more evidence again about the pre-trib rapture, and let's turn to Revelation 2. And John, I'm going to have you read some
okay.
verses for me.
I have my Bible open here.
And please, this, you know, I hope that you out there in Radio Land are taking advantage of this unique, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
time in God's Word, because it is deep, and you can sit down and you can go along with us and open your Bible and follow. And if you miss the show, you can get it later on the webpage. That's excellent.
Okay, that's
you
great.
Know? And it's if all out in time.
Now, I hope you follow right along here. Revelation chapter 2. These are the letters to the churches.
Right.
The churches at the time and also the prophetic churches.
Okay, now let's take one at a time, and the
okay.
first one is the Church at Ephesus, and he goes through it, of course, and tells them their good points and their bad points, but at the end of each letter, and I want you to read this because I really want people to understand what's going on here. John, could you read the last part there, Revelation, I think it's 2, verse 7.
Okay, that would be the end of the letter to the Church at Ephesus towards the end. Jesus is saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Okay, now could you read verse 11?
Okay. The next church, Church of Smyrna, I believe. It says, he says to that church, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
All right, and in the next one, verse 17.
Verse 17. Well, no surprise, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
That's right, and in the next church, verse 29.
Okay, let me flip the page here. I believe this is the Church of Thyatira. And again he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Yeah, I want you to notice to the churches. Let's continue on with verse 6 in chapter 3.
Okay, to the Church of Sardis he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Verse 13.
Do I have? I think everybody
yes.
knows what I'm going to read.
I
here.
Know, but I want to make a point here.
Okay, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
And the last one, verse 22.
Okay, to the Laodicean church, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Okay, now he says it one more time in chapter 13 and verse 9. Would you read that for me, John?
Okay. Now we're in chapter 13, verse 9. And it says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear.
What?
It says, he's saying, if anyone has an ear, let him hear.
Okay. So do you notice something a little different, John?
Well, it's in a different chapter. Oh, he doesn't say, if anyone has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Exactly.
Where are the churches?
They're gone.
Okay.
See, in chapters 2
okay.
and 3, he gives seven letters to the churches because
right.
they're still on earth. That's the time we're living right now.
Okay.
But once chapter 4 comes, we are called up.
I see.
Okay? And so we're no longer there. Now, there'll be new believers. There'll be the tribulation saints. There'll be the 144,000, but they will not be called the bride of Christ. They will not be called the church.
Yes.
And that's why he doesn't address it.
Very good. Good
Makes
point.
Makes total sense, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And to get back to that point in Revelation 1, we have the seven lamps. Let's turn to that. Go back to the
Revelation 1.
The
seven menorahs or candlesticks.
Yeah.
Or lamps, depending
yeah.
on what translation
yes,
you're holding.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Revelation 1:12, he says, John says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, And having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands. Now, what's interesting is that John is still on earth, and he has this vision of Jesus, and he sees these golden lampstands. Now, it tells you in verse 20 what these lampstands are. And I'm going to look at it here at the very end there. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So this is the church age. Now, what's interesting is that when you go to chapter 4, which I told you I believe is the rapture chapter, in Revelation chapter 4, we see the seven lamps in verse 5 are now up in heaven.
And
just prior to Jesus opening the seal of the scroll, which announces the judgment on earth,
that's cool.
You see these lamps are in heaven.
Can
that's
I read that?
Us.
That verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps
mm-hmm.
of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits
of God. That's us.
That's
us right now. So we're going to be up there at the throne. We are actually going to see him take that scroll, which in Hebrew is called a edut, and it's the testimony that each king receives when he's crowned.
Mm.
Okay, and he's going to receive his testimony, and that's going to be his responsibilities. And then he's going to open that first seal, hand it to the angel, and judgment will begin on the earth. And see, we're up there because we're going to see that. We're no longer on the earth, and I think I just pointed out some pretty good reasons as
yes.
to why I believe what I believe. And oh my gosh, we've got still so many more.
Yes, and it's encouraging that we will not be.
Oh, it's totally encouraging. And it's our blessed hope.
It's our blessed hope.
You know, that's what he talks about. He says, be ready, be anxiously awaiting at any moment.
Yes.
For my return. That's when we get that special crown. That's one of the rewards, is anxiously awaiting for him. He wants us to do that. And why? Because we are not to be here for the wrath of God that comes upon the unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
We're believers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to, you know, make it more clear there. And let's go to Revelation chapter 3, since we're in the book of Revelation, one of my
and
favorite
again,
books.
I want to just recall when we read from chapter 1, and the mystery of the seven lampstands was revealed. Revelation isn't that hard of a book to understand when you see that it translates itself or it explains
exactly.
itself.
It really isn't.
A lot of times. You may not be familiar with the imagery, prophetic imagery, because you may not be familiar with the imagery in the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so forth. But once you're familiar with the imagery, the book of Revelation will actually help you to understand it by explaining
yes.
things.
John, I think I told you this before. When I recommitted my life on a more serious note, okay, that was,
right.
I don't know, 15 years ago or so, the first book that I really studied was the book of Revelation. You know,
mm-hmm. you were drawn to the book of Revelation.
I went to college. I happened to know that the answers are always in the back of good textbooks.
So you went right to the back of the book.
So I went right to the back. I wanted to know what the ending was.
Yes.
You know, but you know what I found out? That as the more I studied, the more it took me in the whole rest of the other parts of the Bible.
Takes you there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It takes you all over the place because Scripture interprets Scripture, of course.
This book is for us today.
But it was not hard, definitely.
Oh, that's good.
But let's read what Revelation 3:10 says. This is the Church of Philadelphia. And by the way, and I won't have time to do it today, but at some point we'll go through each of those churches, and I'll tell you in history, prophetically, what each church represents. But today I'll just tell you that the Church of Philadelphia does represent the Bride of Christ.
Okay.
And there's nothing condemning about it. He doesn't say one bad thing about the Church of Philadelphia. Why? Because it was all taken to the cross.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. And it's
just
not...
read verse 10.
Okay. Verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
That's right. So what does that say, John?
Well, it's sounding like he's saying, I'm going to keep you from something that's going to happen on the earth.
Right. And what does it mean when it says those who dwell on the earth? What does that word mean?
Well, I think
know?
We've learned from our Hebrew roots that that earth dwellers is an idiom for those who have placed their heart and their desires on things of the world.
That's right. In this particular instance, the Greek word is katatokio, I believe it says, but it means to house permanently on the earth.
In other words, you're not looking for any place else but the earth. I mean,
That's right. We're aliens and sojourners, Paul says.
Right.
Right? And the reason we're going to be kept away from this hour of trial, which is a term for the tribulation period, is because we have kept the faith.
Yes, it says that.
That's right.
You kept my command to persevere.
Amen.
Well, we have some of our Shofar Ministries fans and coming in.
That's right.
Okay, yes. If you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. And this is a listener-supported radio broadcast. If this show is a blessing to you, then your help is really needed to keep us on the air. So, any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries Box 513, that's Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And all donations any donation will get you on the monthly newsletter. And it's full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage? There's newsletters and previous radio shows are already archived there for you to find, thanks to Lou Buckles, who is very fair priced and helped. And he will also help you with your own web page. Let us know if you're interested. We'll forward that on information right on to Lou, or give him your number, if you will. And Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, are now available on Sheila's webpage as well as shofarministries.net.
Okay, and I want to welcome my husband who just popped in with our granddaughter from Florida, Autumn Rose, and they're going to help us with the Aaronic blessing. And if you want to say it in Hebrew, we're going to have them say it in English then.
Okay, well, we have. Okay. We're going to do it in Hebrew and then in English.
Yes.
Ready? Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha V'yasem lecha shalom. In English?
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord maketh his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom.
Very good. Thank you. How did you like that debut on the radio?
Autumn Rose makes her debut on the radio.
You want to say something real quick, like you want to say goodbye? No? Are you shy all of a sudden? So I just want to thank all the listeners out there for tuning in, and I pray that these shows have been a blessing unto you. And of course, go ahead, honey, say something quick. Autumn Rose wants to say hi to her mommy. She's got one. You got 1 minute to say something. You want to say anything? That's cute.
Also, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem this week.
Sha'alu shalom, Jerusalem.
Don't let anyone confuse you that there's not going to be a rapture, or the rapture's already happened.
Yeah, please don't.
Or that we're going to go through part of it.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord. Pray the word. Pray God's word right back up to them. It's very powerful.
That's right. In Psalm 122, 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her will love those who love Jerusalem. Those prosper.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
That's a good promise.
Good promise.
Amen. Please come back next week. We'll see you at 1 o'clock.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.